Count me in. Amen. But we're going to have a good Christmas program because we're giving the auditorium over to the young people. So it'll be worth it. Like most suffering, it's better when it's over. Talking to the PA room now, I'm going to try to be a little bit louder because I had all kind of complaints last week. Folks couldn't hear me in the back. Much of that is the building and the PA system, but some of it is this is a crowd that's had more birthdays than anybody else. Amen. Including me, for sure. We've been teaching the adult class. Brother Parsons has been gracious to me. I joke with him a little bit. I'm supposed to be retired, and I'm just tired. But I appreciate the privilege of still teaching the adult Sunday school class. I know what he's doing economically. He's getting the last squeeze out of the toothpaste tube. After you think there's no more, you squeeze it again. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to do a little different this morning. We've been teaching verse by verse through the book of John. We're about to start chapter 18. But I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to kind of honor the time of the year, the season. We'll say a little bit about Christmas and just a passage that you very familiar with. And you're going to hear a lot, perhaps, and I don't know, I haven't seen them practice, but I'd be surprised if some of this text was not used even today. Matthew chapter 2. So we'll read about 10 verses and then I'll comment until my time is up. Okay. Chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" I want you to notice that. I'm probably going to comment on that fact a little more. "For we have seen his star in the east, and we come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written in the prophet." Of course, that's Micah chapter 2, or chapter 5, what is it? Chapter 2, I guess, verse 5. "They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, and thou Bethlehem," here's a quote from it, "in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall," and notice the word "shall," "rule my people Israel." Quite frankly, that has not happened yet, but it is going to happen. That's why the King James Bible is so accurate. It says the word "shall." "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." I'm going to say something about the star if I can remember to a little bit later. A lot of questions even today about it. "He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him.'" He was a hypocrite and a liar. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." I'm going to just tell you a short little story about that verse. I was in seminary class 100 years ago. And the professor came in one morning. He was a good man, but he said, "How many of you think the star moved?" And a bunch of us raised our hand. He said, "Oh, no, it didn't move." I hadn't got my Bible out of my bag yet, so I asked my neighboring friend, who later on we pastored together, said, "Let me borrow your Bible." I flipped it open and read this to him. He said, "That's what I get for listening to the radio." He said, "I heard a heretic this morning on the radio saying the star didn't move, and you just proved he was wrong." Yeah, it moved, amen. A famous black preacher of years gone by, I'm trying to call his name right now, and I'm forgetting it, but he used to have a great sermon. The black folks fussed at that time because the white folks crowded out the black church where they couldn't get in. He was that popular with the Word of God. And one of the statements he made is, he said, is the sun doth stand still and the star moved. And he was right. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, if it went before them, it had to move, didn't it? Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but the child by that time was almost 2 years old. That's why Herod, when he killed the babies, killed them from 2 years old down. He was trying to kill Christ because he knew he was a usurper on the throne, and if the king of the Jews had come, he was going to lose his throne. So he wanted to kill the babies. So from 2 years old down, he did that, which if you read the other rest of it, comment on the Bible, you'll find out the young child was in a house by that time. He was not in the manger. So sometimes if you read the Bible close, it messes up a whole lot of tradition, a lot of stuff that's been taught from one campfire to the other. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I'm going to stop there. I'm changing, like I say, a little bit from where I've been going in the book of John. There's a big question asked in the verses that we read. If you look at it in verse 2, it says, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where is he? You know, that's still a question today. This passage on the birth of Christ, you often hear to it as called the first advent, when Christ came to earth this time. Now, there's a first advent. That tells you there's more to follow. If there's a first one, there's a second one. The second one you and I are living very, very close to today, the second return of Christ. The return of Christ includes not only the rapture, it includes the tribulation period, it includes the millennial reign, it includes the time that Christ will be back on earth the second time, the second advent. So we ought to be excited about Christmas, but we ought to be excited more about the one that came is coming again. Amen. The big question here, where is he? Well, he's right where he's supposed to be. He's not late. Sometimes we pray, Lord, if you tarry, you're coming. He's not going to tarry it. He's got a time. He's coming at the exact time. He will return. And praise God, as I get older, the more I want him to come. Amen. His star. Folks ask about the star. Some folks think it was a planet. Some folks think it was an asteroid. Some folks think it was a meteor or a comet. All that kind of stuff. No, it was a star God prepared. Was it a twinkle, twinkle little star? Was it a heavenly body? I don't know. You know, angels in the book of Revelation are called stars, so we've got to be careful about being dogmatic about sometimes that sort of thing. His star. His star was looked far because it was predicted. Now, if you got your Bible, go to Numbers chapter 24. We pick it up at about verse 7 or 17, somewhere there. Numbers 24, back toward the front of your Bible. You'll probably find it quick as I do. Maybe not. I did have it marked. I didn't think I did, but I do. Numbers 24, there's a fellow named Balaam. You probably don't remember Balaam much, but if I tell you something to remember Balaam about, anybody remember the donkey in the Bible that talked? That was Balaam's donkey. That was a time that a jackass had more sense than the preacher. Amen. Balaam was a prophet, but he was a hireling prophet. He was one that the enemy was trying to get to put a curse on Israel, but every time he opened his mouth, God made him bless Israel. That's a great story, but one of the things he said takes us back to the star. Look at it in Numbers 24, in verse 17. We got shall in this again. In other words, this is a prediction. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall also rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheol. Now, listen to me. This is, you might not see it at first, but if you study it, this is a prediction of the kingdom that Christ is going to come back and set up and rule, a scepter. That's what's referred to that, a kingship. He's not only come as our Redeemer and our Savior, but he also came as not only the King of the Jews, but one day going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so as you think about Christmas, thank God for the birth, but it took the birth to have a Redeemer. But if you just had a baby in a manger, you couldn't be saved. He had to come and become that Redeemer, become that Savior, pay that price for our sins. So here Balaam didn't want to do this. He wanted to curse Israel. He wanted to do it for money. But every time he'd open his mouth, God would make him bless Israel. It's an interesting story. You ought to read it. He was trying, when the donkey talked to him, he was trying to go the wrong direction against God and curse Israel. And the donkey stopped because he saw the angel of God standing with a sword about to whack his head off. All right, that's not my lesson this morning. It's just easy to talk about that. But he's coming now as king of the Jews. The scepter means he's going to have a kingdom. Herod got scared here because he was a usurper on the throne. Now Rome was in charge, and Israel now was in subjection to them. But Rome let the Israelites kind of govern themselves, and Herod was about a half-breed Jew. He knew enough of Judaism. He knew enough, he should have known something about this prophecy. Yet he's asking the wise men from the east knew more because they were following the prophecy and following the star. And so Herod, it slipped up on him. Folks, you know the second advent, the second coming of Christ is going to slip up on us just that quick. We should know. We have the word of God. We have the prophecy. We ought to be watching. We ought to be thinking. You say, when? Well, yeah, we believe we can know the seasons a little bit, not the day nor the hour, but you know what that ought to do? That ought to make us be ready every day. Amen. Be wise about it, to be prepared every day. So here we find part of the prediction of the Christmas story is he's coming as king. The angel appeared to Mary to tell her she was going to have Christ, the baby, and that he was going to rule the government. Boy, the truth is we'd pass over that pretty quick, but that was part of the early prediction. Herod feared because while he had the authority of Rome behind him, he was ruling over the Jews, but he knew he was a fake. He knew he was a usurper. He knew enough of the Bible, enough of the prophecy, enough of Judaism to know he was not supposed to be sitting on the throne of Israel. So what was he going to do? You read any history of the world, of Europe, everywhere, we see it in our politics. It's getting almost as bad in our politics to where murder now and crime now is pretty much going to tell us who's going to be the ruler. God overrules that. He always has. But the kingdom is predicted to one day belong to Christ. Adam lost the kingdom in the garden when Satan was able to tempt Eve and Adam went along with it. He lost the rules. We hate to admit it, but the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world now. You want to know what's going wrong? Don't blame God. It's in warfare. Spiritual warfare against evil going on in this world big time, and it plays out with us human beings on earth. We sometime are a pawn of the devil. Sometime we are doing what he wants us to do. And we that know Christ should be resisting, as the Bible tells us, we ought to resist the devil. We ought to resist evil. And oftentimes we say, how come this happened? How could it be so bad? If you've been watching the news of late, murder just seems to be every night, somebody else getting killed somewhere. It's amazing. Satan is increasing his activity, I believe, very much so than ever before. Of course, I know the news is easier to travel the world now than ever before, but man's been depraved ever since Adam fell in the garden. And that sin acts out. And Satan has his way as the god of this world. Now, the long predicted kingdom age is coming. We call it the millennial reign. We are premillennialists. We believe that millennial reign has to come when the king comes back and brings the kingdom. We know what pre means. It means before. Mill means thousand. Adam means years. So when you go to premillennial, you're talking about pre-thousand years. We believe that Jesus has to come back. We don't believe the world's getting better. Anybody that reads the newspaper or looks at the news knows it's not getting better. It's going to get worse and worse till Christ himself is the only one that can fix it. I'll vote for the man that seems to be the nearest to the lining up with the Bible than others, one that stands more for righteousness than evil, but no man's going to fix it. Only Jesus can fix it. And he will, but in his time. Now, it's a long predicted millennial reign. I'm going to ask you to go to a few other verses. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, I want to go probably chapter 60, maybe a little bit in chapter 59. Isaiah the prophet. Of course, we have so many prophets, but Isaiah is talking. And when you read the whole Bible, if you'll keep in mind how the end turns out, you'll often see God's plan in so many places in the Bible. It'll reference it. His plan is for him to come back. His Christ, Son of God, is going to rule on a kingdom on earth for that 1,000-year millennial reign. You read chapters like 11 and chapter 11 in Isaiah. You'll read where the lion and the lamb is going to lie down together. You'll read where there's going to be peace on earth. All politicians promise peace. None of them can bring it. Only Jesus can. There'll be peace on earth one day. I like to hear the song. When I used to hear a man sing it. He'd done such a good job. He said, peace in the valley for me. There will be peace in the valley one day and peace everywhere else when the peacemaker comes back, when the Lord Jesus does. But look at me with me in Isaiah chapter 60. I was talking about the star, a lot of questions about the star. But his star was predicted in Numbers 24. A lot of folks today want to make a conspiracy against Israel that the Star of David is a satanic star. No, it's not. You got a satanic star in the Bible. You got some stuff on that, but you need to rightly divide very carefully. And the Star of David is representing, and Christ himself was represented here by the star. But let's jump into chapter 60. Arise, verse 1, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, the glory of the Lord is brightness, is shining. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. I think that's happening, don't you? And gross darkness the people. We live in a big age of deception, folks. I mean real big age of deception. Darkness. Every time your phone rings, you better be real careful what you say over it. You're about to be conned by somebody. I mean, deception is rampant today. But darkness over the whole earth and gross darkness the people. Now, this changes the opposite to the opposite truth now. But this is a big word in the Bible, just three letters, B-U-T. It's going to change now. It says, but, the opposite. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, that's you and I if we're not Jews, and the Gentiles shall come to the light of Christ, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, here's a prediction that Christ will come back. Christ was a Jew. He's going to come back and bring the kingdom that they all asked him about on earth. Is the kingdom coming now? That was a big question. The Pharisees tried to trip him up on all that, but the kingdom is coming. He is going to bring it in. I want you to jump back to the last verses of chapter 59. I'm just hitting some high places a little bit here. Here's a message to Israel. And it's a time when things were bad. If you drop to verse 15 in Isaiah 59, it says, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. That's where we live now too, folks. You know you can get in trouble today for doing right more than you can wrong many times. He that departs from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, he'll be attacked for it. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. He saw there was no man. I'm going to have to jump on ahead for time's sake. Jump with me the last few verses here of chapter 59. He says the time's coming in verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. You know, we're living in the west compared if you look on the globe. And his glory from the rising of the sun. Where does the sun rise? It rises in the east, don't it? So it's saying from east to west, God's glory. The whole globe is going to see God's glory one day. And it says here, the enemy shall come in like a flood. There's going to be a battle, or battle of all battles. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. The battle between good and evil, the battle before the millennial reign can be set up, is what it's talking about. Again, that truth is hidden in so many verses in the Bible. Here's some of them. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. We had a lot of talk today that Zionism is bad. No, I want to tell you, Zionism is going to win in the end because he's coming back. See, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he had a plan. That plan was to establish a people that would later be called Israel. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. God wanted a witness to the world. He raised up a nation, Israel. That nation of Israel finally was the nation that brought forth the Redeemer, Christ, the Messiah. You got to remember, he was of the seed of the woman that was promised in Genesis 3:15. When Adam and Eve were confronted by the Lord after they had sinned, and the devil was there, and God spoke to the devil and told Satan that the seed of the woman, not the man, would bruise his head. Do you understand the seed of the woman is the virgin birth? You ever hear a preacher putting down the virgin birth, you just write him off. He's no good. Virgin birth is necessary, and that's what was predicted. So Israel brought forth the Redeemer. Sadly, though, they wanted the kingdom then. They didn't understand, and so they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Savior. They rejected the Redeemer. John chapter 1, verse 12 says he came unto his own. His own received him not. But unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's the good part. You and I got saved because we received Christ as our Savior, our Redeemer. He came unto his own, Israel as a nation, and still today as a nation, as a whole, they reject him as Messiah. Book of Zechariah tells us he's coming back when all the nations have gathered against Israel. We're seeing that building up now. And when Jesus comes back, they're going to say to him, "Where'd you get the wounds in your hands and in your feet?" He's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." There's going to be a time that as a whole nation that's left, Israel is going to turn and recognize the Messiah. That's going to be the day that the millennial kingdom can be set up under Christ. Anyway, all that's kind of hidden, not hidden so much, but in the Bible overlooked so much by even some of us that believe the Word of God. So the Redeemer shall come to Zion, verse 20. Again, Isaiah 59, and turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, in Israel, saith the Lord. As for thee, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. You know what he's saying? It's going to be a long promise that's never going to fail. Saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. If you were to, not changing the subject, but if you understand the church age we live in, it's at least 2,000 years old. Now, you can go back with your dates. You hear a lot about Jesus being born in 2004, I'm sorry, not 2000. Born in 04, and that would make already 2,000 years has passed. But I don't believe it starts at his birth at 204. I believe it started at the crucifixion and the resurrection, which is about 30, 33 years later. So we have not yet covered the 2,000-year gap. Some places in the Bible, we call it where it just has a comma. We'll call it the 2,000-year comma, because in that comma, and here's a case right here in this verse where the church age is kind of hid in this verse. When I'm talking about the church age, I'm talking about from the church as we know it, the Lord's church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church age has been 2,000 years. We check it from the birth of Christ in 04. It's already over 2,000 years. But if we check it from the resurrection, we got a few years to go, but it's getting close. And that church age is hid in this verse here. It passes right over it and goes past the church age and starts off then in chapter 60. We start off with the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. So I'm saying this at Christmas time, the prophecy is not only a baby is going to be born, but a king is going to come and rule. There's going to be a kingdom. That's why Herod wanted to kill the babies. That's why he was so fearful of what was happening. So we hear in the news today about a regime change. Brother, there's going to be a regime change when Jesus comes back. Amen. And read it here in chapter 60, Isaiah. Arise, shine. Still talking a little bit about the light. The star brought a light with it. Arise, shine in thy light. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. You know, we're sending missionaries worldwide as Gentiles, except in Christ, the church age. America in particular has sent missionaries around the world. And I want to tell you, America's not what it was in the old days. There's a lot of blasphemy going on, a lot of bad stuff. But God has still blessed us. And one of the big blessings is our forefathers recognized him. Our government was set up, I won't turn to it, but set up on a Bible verse. The three branches of our government was founded on the Word of God. And God has blessed our nation because we've sent the gospel. We've let the light of Jesus shine around the world. Don't shine as good as it used to, I have to admit. But it's still been what God has used the Gentiles to do. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Jesus is destined and predicted to set up the millennial reign, the kingdom that the Jews rejected when he was here on earth. He's bringing back with him. He's going to set it up. Folks, the next thing, I'm just going to cut to the chase, time's up. The next thing we're expecting right now is a trumpet to sound and God to call out his church, his people. Then he's going to deal with Israel again. The time clock is going to go back to Israel. The tribulation period, Jacob's day of trouble, we believe according to the book of Daniel, it'll be 7 years long. And it'll be an intense time. What we're seeing in the news now, what we call anti-Semitic fever, and it really has all our colleges that you send your kids to get brainwashed against God. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what happens in most of them. And you pay big bucks for it. I hear about people paying $100,000 for 2 years to have their kids come back and don't even recognize them anymore, can't even talk to them anymore. That's ridiculous. It sure is, but it happens. And what do? Somebody said, where did them anti-Semitic crowds came from? They came from in front of the professor's desk in the college. That's where they came from, where he brainwashed them with all that junk. And we're seeing that growing now and being a big, big thing. But somebody says, why in the world is it so... You know, at the birth of Christ, you had two voices speaking up there. You had the wise men coming in love, the voice of love, looking for the Savior. You had the voice of hate. Herod wanted to find the Savior, too, to kill him. We still got those two voices today. We still got those that are for Christ and against him. And we're still seeing to prepare for the big battle. We picture here in this very text, if you've noticed, when Charlie Kirk, which was standing for Christian values, got assassinated, not only did the crowd of believers turn out to rally for him, there's been a crowd of unbelievers rally against him. and all kind of lies being told and everything. It shows it. Somebody said, well, America's divided. It's been divided for a long time over good and evil. And that's the warfare. And you know what? We call them the far left. I call them idiot nuts. But anyway, they say, why are they so upset? Because they don't want the kingdom changed, brother. They don't want Christ to rule. If he'd come back and let them, they'd crucify him again. He's not going to let them. But you know what they fear politically? They fear what we call scripturally, a good word is a theophany. You know, Israel under King David was a theophany, where God's rule was the government rule. Today they say, well, you've got to have separation of church and state. No, what you want is separation of God and state. You just want the Lord to have nothing to do with it. And in spite of all the hypocrisy here, that's really the bottom line. They're afraid, say, well, they're afraid of the conservatives. Most conservatives got the head on right. They're Christians. And that's where the warfare comes. And that's where they fear. They fear. I got news for them. They got a right to fear because it's coming. The millennial reign is going to be a theophany. Jesus is going to rule and reign from the throne of David. And fear it all you want to. It's coming. The king's going to bring it with him. You know, Christmas time, I like some of the Christmas music. Some of it maybe not so good, but most of it's pretty good. It was written a long time ago when people believed the Bible and believed the truth. One of those songs, I call it a song, it's more than a song, The Messiah. Is anybody not doing that I know of? But I love to hear it. I mean, whether you get a big old good choir and you get the right to do it in the right way, The Messiah just makes my hair just kind of tingle on. I mean, that's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. That's talking about when he comes and sets up his kingdom. If you ever read the history of the Messiah, it'll be interesting to you. We call it Handel's Messiah. He was actually given the verses that he used, right out, most of them out of the book of Revelation. He was given the verses by what we'd call a preacher, a Bible student. Handel wrote the Messiah in, 24 days, I believe, Brother Bert. And he pretty much isolated himself in a room. And the servant that brought his meals to him would say oftentimes he didn't even touch the meals. He just, for 24 days, between him and God. One time the servant came in, brought his meal to him, and Handel was looking like he was looking at something that the servant couldn't see. And he said, I believe I almost touched him today. Well, that Messiah had to be of the Lord. But what's the theme of it? That Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Over and over. When it was first written and first played, the King of England stood up. You know, folks stand in honor of the king. The king stood to honor the real king. Later on, I think it's in the close to 100 years later, was it Queen Victoria, I believe, was in a wheelchair. And when the Messiah was played, she said, I cannot sit here. Somebody help me stand. Honoring the king. Listen, Psalms 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves in array against his anointed. What's that psalm talking about? The kings of the earth, the political rulers, the power people in this world against Christ coming back and ruling. But going down through that psalm and it says, yet that Christ will rule on Zion's hill. He will be king. Amen. That was God's purpose. The devil has fought it through the centuries, but he will not prevent it. And as we celebrate Christmas, we ought to think on this. We're closer to seeing the king. I'm going to see him. If the heart quits, I'm going to see him instantly, absent from the body, present in the Lord. But if not, and the rapture takes place, I'll get to see him then. And I'm going to come back with him in his army to fight evil, to help him set up his kingdom.
Man, I want to tell you something. Won't it be something to come back and rule and reign with Christ? That's what the Bible says. We won't be singing happy birthday to nobody. We won't be visiting the hospital. We won't even have to pay the rent, praise God. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to be in charge. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. He sets up his kingdom. So you say, what's this Christmas business? It's great, man, when you realize the truth behind it all. He was born King of the Jews. When you accept him as Savior, he's your king also. And you're going to rule and reign with him, the Bible says. Six times in the 20th chapter of Revelation, six times it says we're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years on earth, and then go into eternity forever and forever. So if you're a little bit defeated today, or some part of your body is hurting worse than it usually does, it's temporary. It's going to pass. And the victory's not that far away. Amen. All right, I believe our time's up. Father, may you add your blessing to your word. May you, as we celebrate Christmas today, really think about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him. Send him again, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Smith wants me to tell you we had a good crowd this morning. Looks like 817.